Welcome to The Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. I am one of your hosts. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist and a blogger. I've been writing about sex on the internet for many years now in many variously embarrassing ways, and now I'm talking about sex on the internet too. Wow, my life is going to plan. Who are you?
I'm Bex. I am a sex educator and blogger. Been doing both those things on the internet and in the world for very many years. And it is midnight, and that is all I've got. That is who I am. So we're writing about sex on the internet. Now we're talking about sex on the internet, and I'm pretty sure we've both had sex on the internet.
Oh, certainly. Many times.
I meant there's videos of us having sex on the internet.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Cybersex, pornography.
But we've also had sex via the internet.
Yes.
So much internet, so much sex.
All the internet sex and all the sexy internets. And speaking of the internet, today's show is all about internet dating. It's interesting, we were talking about how our tagline says sex, dating, and masturbating. We've talked a whole bunch about sex, a whole bunch about masturbating, have not really gotten into the dating part of this promise that we made to you, our listeners. So I think it's time to talk about the absolute horrendous wasteland that is online dating.
It's a nightmare.
We have so many opinions and feelings, and I'm just drinking my way through them tonight. So tell me, what's your favorite online dating platform and why? Show your work. I want to know.
So here's the problem, because my work does not support my answer. So my favorite online dating platform, I like Tinder. I only use Tinder and OkCupid.
Mm-hmm.
And my feelings on these, I like Tinder because it doesn't give me time to get annoyed with people as quickly or to get anxious about them as quickly.
Yeah.
Like Tinder, I have a little blurb and I have a face and I'm like, you're cute, let's swipe. And then I can just start a conversation with them. Meanwhile, with OkCupid, I have like these long form essays and my anxiety will find something wrong with them, anything really, just something arbitrary that I decide I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be like, welp, I can never love them. We'll never even want to see them naked because their favorite TV show is South Park. So clearly everything's wrong with them.
I mean, fair. I don't think I could bring myself to bang someone whose favorite TV show is South Park. Like, ooh.
That's probably true.
No, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. But something arbitrary, something silly, or because they said they were funny in their profile, but they were never actually funny.
Oh my god, I have this problem so much. I'll have these dudes on Tinder who either in their profile or in their first message to me will brag about being really good at puns or making a lot of great puns, and I'm like, so, like, put one in there, maybe? Like,
yeah,
don't just tell show, me that you're don't good at tell. Puns.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
But yeah, so like, OkCupid makes it so easy for me to arbitrarily disqualify people and never speak to them because I'm an anxious weirdo who doesn't want to speak to people.
Yeah, that's the problem, right? Is like, yeah. How do you get yourself to want to socialize?
That said, I have never had a Tinder date and I've only gotten OkCupid dates.
I like when your voice goes really high. It's my favorite part of the show.
I have questions. I wasn't sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, think that's true.
Okay, interesting. I have gone on dates from both of those services. Not from OkCupid in a very long time, but like my super long-term ex-partner, who I was with for 3.5 years, I met on OkCupid. And it was this weird circumstance where, like, he was the first person I ever met from there and the last person I ever met from there. And we ended up being together for 3.5 years. So, like, obviously it worked pretty well. We had a 99% match percentage, which now, looking back, I'm like, I don't know how accurate that is, because we just, like, totally grew in different directions and were so different by the end of that relationship, but, I mean, it did its job at the time.
But, like, I don't know. See, my thing, I match high with everyone. Literally everyone. And I answered, like, a lot of questions. Like, I answered, like, a couple hundred questions on there, and I really focused on answering only the questions that matter. Like, I'm a nerd. I looked into the algorithm and how it works, and I answered specifically the questions that matter to me in the way, and ranked them the right way, and literally everyone matches high with me. Okay. I don't know if I'm, like, a manic pixie dream bean that everyone is gonna love. I don't know. But, like, everyone's over 85%. I don't get it.
That's an interesting problem to have. I always think it's fun when you're on OKC and you see someone who you know in real life who maybe, like, either you've been involved with them in the past or, like, you had a crush on them at one point or something, and then you look at your match percentage and you just assess that based on what you actually know about them. Because my experience is that, like, people who I actually have been involved with in real life and have been really attracted to, like, emotionally in every way, they usually are, like, around, like, the 60 to 80% mark with me. Which I think means that, like, they're just different enough from me to kind of bring me out of my status quo and, like, into something more interesting, and that's probably why I'm drawn to them. But, because I think, like, with my partner who was my 99% match, toward the end, stuff got really boring, and I think it was because we were both, like, so introverty, and we were both, like, total homebodies, and we didn't want to go out and do fun things and, like, get out of our rut at all. We were both Tauruses, so we both are, like, really stubborn and, like, really home-oriented, and so we were just too similar. It became, like, insular and weird. And I didn't feel challenged by him at all toward the end, so.
You're not the first person I've heard say that, like, the 60 to 80% is the sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
So really, me ranking so high with everyone means I'm going to be alone forever.
I'm not sure that that's what
so
that
that's
means.
Cool.
I think you might be extrapolating a little bit.
Do you remember back when I still lived out on Long Island before I moved to the city, when I found the end of Tinder?
Yeah.
Tinder literally was like, there are no more people in the area. You have rejected all of them.
You have mined, like, all the fuckboys in this region.
Like, it showed me a page that was like, there are no more matches in your area. I was like, I didn't know there was an end of Tinder. It's like finding the last page of Google. I don't... Tinder be like, welp, no one will ever love you.
Aww. My feelings about these two platforms have really flipped over the past few years, because I used to think of OkCupid as being more about people's personalities, and, like, you get more of a sense, at least if you do research on a person's profile, you get more of a sense of their personality and what kinds of things they like and their values and their interests before you even necessarily message them, whereas Tinder, I felt like, was more just, like, face value and, like, just the surface stuff, which I am not, like, my attractions don't really work that way, so I didn't think Tinder would work for me, but I'm actually finding these days that OkCupid is becoming more and more of a garbage fire, and, like, Tinder, like, there's a ton of really boring people on there, but if you keep searching diligently, you do find some really interesting people, so
and you
warming
waste
up to it.
So much less time on the boring people.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, you didn't read a novella about their aspirations in whatever bullshit. Have you ever noticed the most pretentious people have the longest profiles?
Like, I mean, to be fair, like, I usually will start by reading someone's self-summary, and then only if it's actually interesting to me will I read on, because, yeah, an OkCupid profile is a bit of a time commitment.
I don't see... I read... If I'm, like, I will glance at their self-summary, and as long as it's not awful, I read a little bit more. I never read their, like, movies and TV. Like, I glance at it, but, like, I don't care. But I find, like, the what you're doing with your life is interesting.
Yeah.
The typical Friday night can be a good space for them to write something better than what they're actually doing on their typical Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they use that space interestingly. And I like the you should message me if.
Yes.
But that could also just be because that's my favorite part of my own profile.
I like the you should message me if as a place to put a little test to see if they actually read my goddamn profile.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, a friend of mine had, for a long time on her OKC profile, that section had, if you have a book recommendation for me. So she would get all these great book recommendations, and it would also just be a way of, like, testing, did this person actually read my profile? And I often would check to see if people had referenced something from that section in their messages to me, and that was a little sign, like, oh, you actually put the time in to, like, learn some stuff about me before messaging me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, like, mine has a bunch of... I think a good thing to have in your profile is stuff like that. Just anything someone can latch onto, and that gives you a good first message to send.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's important that your profile should be full of conversation starters.
Exactly, yes.
Like, little snippets that are just enough information to have someone raise an eyebrow, but not so much information that they don't have any more questions about that.
Yeah.
Like, my Tinder bio says, it has a line that says my life, it just says my life is pretty damn interesting. And what else do I have in there? Let me actually look at it. I have that. I have I don't care how tall you are. Why is Tinder so obsessed with people's heights?
I feel like if you talk to a dude, like, just any dude who uses Tinder, he would tell you that he's encountered some situation where a woman has been particular about height. Like, I have heard those stories from a number of my guy friends, even though I personally have not really encountered women who care about that. To my knowledge, anyway. I don't know.
Oh, right now it has... Right, in October it had Tis the Season, what's your favorite horror movie? And this month it says, which starter did you pick? And if they don't know I'm talking about the new Pokemon game, I don't want their dick in my mouth. See, By the way, Rowlet for days.
Oh, totally. I go back and forth between wanting to have sort of inside jokey information, like references that only certain people would get on my profile versus not having those, because, like, the chances are just so slim that the person is going to get the reference I'm making. But if they do, then it's awesome. But I don't know. Like, I sometimes want to reference The Adventure Zone, which is one of my favorite podcasts, because basically, like, I've actually made the decision to have sex with some people based pretty solely on our shared taste in podcasts. And so, like, that to me would be, like, a fun way to connect with someone, to find out that we both listen to this show. But, like, do I want to, like, alienate people who haven't listened to the show? You know.
Well, I mean, I think you can put, like, little Easter eggs in your profile that are just enough for those people to catch on to, but not enough to alienate other people.
Yeah.
Like, in the You Should Message Me If section, like, on OKC, you can list a bunch of things, and one of those things could be, like, if you know what XYZ means.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. Because, again, it's another conversation starter.
Yeah.
Like, that's also, like, how I like to do kink things in my profiles.
Mm.
I like to just kind of hint at it. Like, I have... I talked about this in the other one. I mean, I have my collar on in all of my pictures, but, like, I have this picture where I have my stuff in the background.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a selfie, but there's also some paddles back there.
Coincidentally. I struggle constantly with the question of how much, like, sex and kink stuff to include in a profile like that, because... I used to have the phrase sex writer in my Tinder profile, which, you know, is my title and is what I do in my career and my life's work. But I found that people would just get so weird and creepy about it and would just basically assume that because that was in my profile that I was down to talk about sex immediately and really explicitly. And, like, like, you know, sexuality is obviously very interesting to me on the intellectual level, but, like, I don't really get into, like, getting sexy-texty with someone I've just started talking to. Like, that doesn't do it for me, and it feels too much like the interactions I'll have with, like, male strangers on Twitter who want to chat with me about their boners, and it's, like, it just has this, like, gross, unsolicited, weird feeling for me. So yeah. I took that out of there at one point. So now my profile just says that I'm a writer, but it also kind of mentions, like, queer, non-monogamous, into consensual spanking. So there are, like, little hints throughout, but, like, I struggle a lot with, like, should I tell people I write about sex? Because I feel like that would attract some good people, but it also attracts a whole bunch of gross people.
Yeah, I think, I mean, part of that is a thing Dan Savage says about a lot of disclosures. So I have, like, on the one hand, the whole telling them that tells them one thing about you, but their reaction tells you everything about them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, like, on the one hand. And I don't have, you don't have to, like, come out as it later. So right. I like just, like, leaving that, like, that's just a fact of my life.
Yeah.
So you sign up for that when you sign up for talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, see, the issue I run into, like, I feel like whether or not we say we're sex writers, we get sexualized and objectified on the interwebs.
Yeah, it's true.
But I run into people doing that whole manic pixie dream bean, like, personal sex Sherpa, whatever they want me to be.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh my god, I, like, I've always wanted to try stuff like this. Like, oh, I want you to teach me all the things. Or, like, oh my god, you're so wild. And, like, I wind up on, like, this weird pedestal.
Yes.
And, like, it's icky and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's not. I do not want.
I have been there because I have dated or sort of flirted with some people who, like, knew me through my blog before they knew me IRL. Which is very weird. Like, because you have that layer of, like, someone looking up to you as, like, an internet celebrity of sorts, which I am just, like, a baby internet celebrity in the grand scheme of things. But, like, there is that, like, pedestalization. And then there's this other thing of, like, people who talk about sex, particularly assigned female at birth folks who talk about sex, are, like, deified as, like, hot, sexy, wild babes. And it's like, no, like, I'm not, like, yeah, a Playboy caricature 24/7. Like, I'm an actual human with motivations and desires and thoughts that don't all revolve around sex. And, like, I would love to talk to somebody about stuff that isn't sex before I go on a date with them.
Yeah. And, like, and that, and it's like, they wind up talking to me like, wow, I've never been able to tell anyone this before, but, like, I kind of like butt stuff. And it's like, really? Oh my god, you can tell people that. And then I've had people, like, latch on to me weirdly fast. Like, in a few days, like, you're the only person I can talk to like this. Like, other girls. And I'm like, okay, well, first of all. But, like, yeah, it just gets really uncomfortable really fast, and either they get way too invested, or, like, it's just not good.
Yeah.
Not great.
Like, I can understand, like, especially on Tinder, if you're only looking for a hookup or a casual thing, whatever, I can understand getting into sexy talk really quickly, because that's mm-hmm. It's going to make a lot of people stop messaging you, but those people are generally going to be the people who weren't looking for what you're looking for anyway. So it makes sense from that perspective. But, like, for me, like, I am sometimes looking for a hookup, but I want it with someone who has a brain and who acknowledges that I also have a brain beyond yeah. just what it's being used in sex for. So, like, ugh.
And for me, like, I can get into sexy talk pretty fast, and I actually have less patience for small talk for forever on dating apps.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a graceful way to do that.
Yeah.
In a way, like, so you start having, like, relatively vanilla chats, but you can get flirty and even, like, really explicitly flirty without being like, so wanna see my dick? Like, you can do that, and then also, because I generally talk about being a sex educator and being a sex writer and all these things, it's easy to also get into a conversation about sex and even a conversation about my own sexuality without it being, like, sexting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, an interesting psychological conversation about comparing our kinks and, like, oh, that's interesting, you like that? Like, what is it that you like about that? Like, that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Can be a really fun way to get personality while also being, like, are we compatible for a hookup?
Mm-hmm.
And also getting, like, casually dropping hints and stuff in there that is more, like, direct and more flirty and that kind of thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm reminded.
I think sex nerds will get me when I say talking about sex without talking in a sexy way.
Oh, totally.
But half of you might just be like, what the hell? When I talk about dicks, I just want them in my face. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I get what you're saying. Like, and there's such a fine line there, and yet that line for me is so important. Like, I've definitely had Tinder conversations with dudes where it was that sort of, like, theoretical and very respectful and sort of at arm's length type of discussion of sex, where it was like, what kinds of things have you been writing about lately? And I might be like, oh, squirting or the Hitachi magic wand. And they might be like, oh, what's interesting to that about you? Or like, tell me something that I don't know about that topic. And like, that to me is an interesting conversation. And it's like, it doesn't feel like they are immediately feeling entitled to my vagina, because like, I don't want to share that with strangers immediately. I'm just not really down for that.
Yeah, I don't want to feel like there's a possibility that you're jerking off to this conversation.
Yeah, no. Keep both hands, like, on your phone, please.
Yeah. That's really what, like, worries me.
Yeah, like, because I'm not there for that. I'm there to meet people in person. And I've had so many situations where, like, the texting got too sexy too fast before we'd even met, and then it felt like it kind of burned out and we just both lost interest. And so now I have a policy of, I don't do that with people I haven't actually gone out with. Not only because it tends to make things fizzle out, but also I'm just, like, less excited about any kind of sexting if I don't actually know the person IRL. Because it just doesn't feel like it's attached to a human being in my mind. Like, it's just, I read so much sexy text on the internet for so many different purposes, and it all just, like, blends together after a while. And if I have a face to associate with it, then it's going to be much more impactful for me.
Yeah, definitely.
So we're complaining a lot, but tell me about some of your successful online dating experiences.
Fuck, do I have any successful ones? So my online dating experiences, I haven't had anything that has been super successful. Most of what I've had, I've had ones that wound up to, like, 2 or 3 dates.
Mm-hmm.
But it's mostly all been, like, hookups and things like that.
Which is, like, kind of what you're looking for a lot of the time, right? So,
yeah, it's more what I'm looking for. But I haven't had anything super successful, and all of my online dating stuff has been cis dudes.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's kind of, I want, where are the queers? Send me the queers.
There's just so many cis dudes on these services. Like, we're just inundated with cis dudes. Like, I date almost exclusively cis dudes, and even I'm like, this is too many cis dudes.
There was, I did have my one OkCupid date that I actually, so we talked about, like, how much sexuality to include in your profiles.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to a friend recently who has an entire, like, sexy kink profile without any face pictures, and just has, like, some of her personality, but it's mostly her kinks and stuff. And not only did she say that it's super successful, but she actually gets better, not only more messages, but better quality messages than she does from her vanilla profile. Which I think is really interesting.
I wonder if that's because she, like, is intimidating all the, like, fuckboys who are, like, too scared to message her because she seems to really have her shit together sexually.
It's possible. I thought you were saying she was intimidating on the other page, and I was like, well, I mean, she is gorgeous, so, but no, yeah, I don't know, maybe. But the reason I think of that is because one of my successful Tinder dates was actually from someone who messaged me on a faceless kink account, and I was like, it was, and his profile name was a clever pun about Marquis de Sade. And I was like...
That's very hot, I have to say.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. I was like, faceless kink profile from someone who thinks he's a top. But then I was like, all right, clever pun. And then, like, I scrolled for a while, and I was like, this actually isn't terrible. And his first message to me was good. I don't remember what it was, but it was like, all right. And we wound up going out on a date, and he... was, like, had met up with a friend of his earlier, and he was like, you know, listen, she'll still, like, I'm hanging out with her until X amount of time, but, like, do you want to hang out after? I'm like, yeah, okay. And then at one point he's like, she might still be around, do you want to, like, he's like, I think you two would get along, do you, this is weird, but, like, do you want to meet her before she leaves and we hang out? And I was like, yeah, okay. And now, I don't know if this was all some clever ruse, but it worked out okay anyway. Because, like, I met her, and me and her started talking a whole bunch and really hit it off. So she stayed, and the three of us talked for a while, and then went and had a threesome.
I'm so proud of you.
So, like, that was cool. And I wound up hooking up with him, like, a few times after that, and then he moved far, far away, and whatever.
Sad.
But, yeah, so that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So what about you? What are some successes you had on online dating?
Yeah, so, I mean, there was my long-term ex, which I would probably consider the foremost online dating success of my life. Just because, like, he ended up being this person who was so important to me at such a pivotal time in my life. And, you know, when you're together with someone for 3.5 years, like, they really become entrenched with your family. And, you know, he was my best friend. And it was, like, a rare thing in my life in that the relationship ended very amicably. And I still just have nothing but great thoughts about him. Like, he's just a lovely, sweet person who mm-hmm. helped me through a really difficult time in my life. So there was that. I've, like, dated-ish a few people that I've met on Tinder. Like, in one case, I matched with a guy on Tinder, and, like, we messaged back and forth very briefly, and then it kind of fizzled out. And then, like, months later, I was at a friend's birthday party, and I see this guy, and he looks familiar. And I was like, where have I seen you before? And he goes, oh, we matched on Tinder, and you stopped messaging me. And I was like, oh, yikes. Oh,
whoops. Right, so about that.
That's rough.
Were you boring?
We ended up dating for a few weeks before I found out that he actually wasn't as poly as he claimed to be.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, so that ended badly. But, I mean, while it was happening, it was really sweet and exciting. And then the other thing, this is not really a success, but I did meet a guy on Tinder back in March who I ended up dating for about a month and a half, and the first few weeks were really good. We had a fantastic first date. We went out, to see a show, a comedy bar, and then ended up hooking up that night, and it was really good, and, like, he was really sweet at first, but then, like, a few weeks into the relationship, I discovered he was probably on the asexual spectrum, which, like, that's fine. It just doesn't work for me as, like, someone who I'm going to be partnered with. And also was not at all feminist, like, did not believe in the concept of oppression or privilege. And it was this very weird thing where, like, I normally don't date outside my little bubble of, like, the sex-positive feminist community, and there's a very good reason for that. But having met this guy on Tinder, like, I guess it didn't occur to me that he wasn't maybe gonna fit with the values of the type of person I typically hang out with. Like, I just thought, you know, he seems like a decent enough guy. Of course, any decent person would be a feminist, and then he totally was not. And and the asexual thing too, I was like, this is untenable. Like, I think I could deal with one or the other of those, but not both.
Yeah, and, I remember you messaging me and being like, he doesn't, I just got a message that was like, he doesn't believe in privilege. I think I have to break up with him. And I was like, yup. Yep. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, that was the worst. Like, that day was so awkward because we were just, like, out walking together and this topic came up somehow. And I was just breezing through the conversation, fully expecting him to be on board with my feminism because fucking everybody in my life is, because everybody in my life's a great person. And he was just, like, just fully denied that privilege is a thing and that as a white, cis, straight male that he would have privilege. And I was like, what? Like, and then it was so awful because it was the beginning of our date that day. And, like, we then
went up to his place. That sounds like the end to me.
We had to go up to his place and we were supposed to watch a movie together and I didn't even want to talk to him. I was so angry. It was just, like, really awkward silence all the while. I was just thinking, like, I think I have to break up with this guy. Like, it was terrible. So that was, like, for me an interesting experience because that was through Tinder. And, you know, one of the benefits of Tinder is that it's so much briefer and you have so much less information that you have to peruse. But also you have so much less access to information about the person you're about to go on a date with. So, yeah. Like, if I had even glanced at his answers on OkCupid, if we had met there instead, I would have pretty quickly seen where we were not in alignment, but, didn't have access to that info, so...
Yeah.
Yikes. The other thing I love about Tinder is that it is basically the Uber of sex. Like, it is basically just, like, deliver sex to me. And, like, I'm super anxious and... So I don't often use it the way I think it's meant to be used, in that I get too stressed out about it. And, like, even if I hop on Tinder with the intention of, like, I am going to bang someone tonight, like, usually that doesn't happen because I just get too over-analytical. But there was the one time that we were in Minneapolis, and yes. I was just, like, weirdly, inexplicably determined that I was going to have a Minneapolis Tinder hookup. I think it was just, like, on my travel to-do list, I wanted to do it. And I just, like, aggressively Tindered for, like, an hour, matched with a few people, messaged with a few people, and then kind of, like, the one who I had the best banter with was the winner. I remember I tweeted, I was like, should I go on a Tinder date with someone I'm really not that excited about, or should I stay home and watch porn with my friends? And everyone on Tinder was like, you should stay home. That date does not sound good. But then you said to me, you should go on the date.
I did. And I think I had a good reason for it. I don't remember what my reason was, but it was convincing.
Well, I think it was like, I had recently broken up with the aforementioned non-feminist dude, and I kind of needed a confidence boost. And... Mm. I think it did end up being good for that. But so you, like, drove me to the date location, went on a date with this dude who said that he had never been on a Tinder date before. He was really adorable and nervous. We had pizza together, and I had said earlier in my messages, I was like, so we can go out for beers, and then, like, if the vibe is right, then maybe makeouts, etc. Which is, like...
makeouts, etc.
One of the more bold things I've ever said to a stranger, I think. And the vibe was pretty good. He was my type. He was a beardy, dad bod, nerdy dude. No. And, his apartment was conveniently right next door to the pizza place.
So how there. Handy.
We had a, lackluster, but overall satisfactory hookup, and then he drove me back to my Airbnb, and that was it. So, like, was not an amazing experience, but it was what Tinder, I think, is meant to do, and I felt pretty good about myself afterward because I was like, wow, I navigated that social interaction like a person who isn't mentally ill. Good for me!
Yeah, that's, like, I have tried to get that out of Tinder, mm-hmm. like, multiple times. I have been like, I am gonna Tinder, and I am gonna fuck someone that is on Tinder.
Yeah.
And then, like, and I always wind up doing it late at night, because, like, when the fuck else do you go on Tinder?
Yeah, totally.
And then I wake up the next morning with, like, dudes I've matched with talking to me, and I'm like, oh god, what have I done? I have to talk to you now?
Yeah.
Shit! It's no longer midnight, and I just jerked off, and I'm better now. Like, I don't...
Better, as if it was a disease you were suffering from.
It was! I thought Tinder was a good idea.
No, I and get that. Like, I think it's the like, only reason
when did, who was I when I swiped right on this human? God, what did I get myself into?
I think when we were traveling, like, the fact that we had such a short amount of time, and I really had to organize this hookup, like, pretty fast if it was going to happen, like, there was something about that. You know how, like, when you're trying to be really creative, it helps to put limitations on yourself, like, this story is going to be exactly 50 words or something like that. I think that it was, like, the limitations of that situation made me Tinder harder and better than I normally would at home. Because at home, it's like, you know, these people live in my city. I can bang these people anytime. Whereas in Minneapolis, I was like, this is a very short time offer here.
I have one night and one line only to have this lackluster hookup. Or it will be gone forever.
To be fair, like, he tried. I am not really a one-night stand person because I just can't relax and can't really get into it that much. But he did try. He played terrible music on the stereo. He showed me his hat collection after we were done.
And he offered to let you do something other than suck his dick because he clearly didn't understand you.
Yeah, I'm, like, blowing the dude. He's like, do you want to do anything else with that? And I was like, nah.
No, definitely not.
And then, like, a month later, he messaged me again. He was like, hey, how's it going? And I was like, why are you having a conversation with me? I'm nowhere near you and never will be again. And he wanted to apologize that he didn't get me off when we hooked up. And I was like, dude, it's been a month. It's fine. Like, let it go.
That's not what I was there for.
No. I was there for your dick in my face, and I got it, and I'm good.
This is mission accomplished.
When I got home from that hookup, I walked in, and you and Taylor and Caitlin were all sitting there, and you were all like, hey, how'd it go? And I was like, oh, I got to give a blowjob, and you were like, yay! Like, you were so happy for me.
I was.
True friendship. Okay, well, we steered a little bit off track here.
We did, yeah. So let's get back. What is it about a profile or a first message that, like, stands out to you that makes you want to respond and that can start a conversation?
First of all, I've talked about this before in the sexting episode. Fucking proofread your shit. If you're not good with proofreading, have someone else proofread your shit. Really think of your online dating profile as, the romantic equivalent of, like, a cover letter or a resume, in the sense that it should be fucking perfect. It's your audition. Make that shit real good. I also really need them to be funny. Like, both profile and opening message. If they're not funny, I'm like, what am I here for? And I hate when people say that they're funny or that they have a great sense of humor in their profile, but then there's, like, no evidence of that. Like, one of my favorite writers, Alexandra Franzen, has this great post about how to write a good online dating profile. And one of the things she says is, don't just say the traits and characteristics that you have. Instead, give an example of the way that that characteristic has manifested in your life. So, like, instead of saying, like, I'm a really quirky person, you could be like, one time I wore a tutu to the symphony. Like, just give a little, like, little glimpse of a story or an anecdote or an example that shows that about you, because if you just say, I'm really funny, I have a great sense of humor, I don't fucking believe you. Tell me a joke. Like, you know?
Yeah, and the best thing about, like, those little snippets and glimpses into your life is that those are the things that people can message you about.
Exactly.
And if you're on there, you probably want to be messaged.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, those are the things that, if you went, you wore a tutu to the symphony, I'm gonna ask how that went.
Yeah.
You know, like, was it done on a dare? Do you have an array of tutus? Was it a rainbow tutu?
Right. I used to have a thing in my profile. There was a brief period of time where I didn't say that I was a sex writer, but I did mention that I had a sex toy collection of about 150 toys. And I would get some people being like, what the hell's up with that? Why do you have so many toys? And then I get to gleefully tell them why, and it's great.
Yeah.
What about you? What's a good profile for you?
I think if your profile is, like, unique, it needs to make me laugh at least once, or, like, smile or something.
Yes.
It needs to be concise.
Mm-hmm.
Enough, but still kind of give me a glimpse of who you are and how you exist. It needs to not be, like, just a list of things, because I don't care. Like, don't just list off everything. Like, find unique and interesting and engaging ways to say the things you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it can be really useful to, kind of how you were saying, how you, like, show a thing, don't tell it.
Yeah.
Like, make a list separate from your page about the things you want to convey, and then find ways to weave them into what you've written.
Yes.
Instead of just listing those things.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me, because, like, even with just regular, like, writing projects of any kind, I'll often think in advance about, like, what do I want to convey here? Like, how do I want to make the reader feel? What do I want them to understand? What do I want them to take away from this? And I think you got to think of your online dating profile as a piece of writing, and in a way, a piece of persuasive writing that's meant to get a person to take a certain type of action or to feel a certain way about you, and just really try your best to make it do what you want it to do.
Yeah, and for me, what's more important is the first message than the profile, if they message me first. If I'm messaging them, you gotta be real cute, which we'll get into the pictures in a second. And your profile has to have something that I was like, oh my god, I need to know more about that. Like, your profile, when you finish writing your profile, read it, try and read it as a stranger would, and find out what things you could message yourself.
Like, that's a good tip.
Have a bunch of blurbs of conversation starters, things people can ask you about. You know, you can, there's a part for TV shows and stuff, maybe mention a few just to be like, hey, like, so someone can be like, hey, did you see the latest episode of XYZ and talk to you about that?
Mm-hmm.
But in the you should message me if is a great part to put tons of little things. I have a thing about board games because, and I get invited on so many board game dates, like so many. I have a thing if you'll sing Paradise by the Dashboard Light at a karaoke bar duet with me, because I need someone to. I'm singing Meatloaf's part, by the way. I have, like, do you want to color in my dirty coloring books? Do you want to go get ice cream at the park and laugh at the straits? Like, so I have a ton of, like, suggestions of things we can go do.
Yeah.
And, like, just grab onto any of those and message me about it.
Mm-hmm.
So getting a, if I'm receiving a message, I need it to be something that either references something in my profile, or ideally, I like profiles that ask a question, that messages that ask a question.
Yes. Oh, it has to. I feel it absolutely has to, because if it doesn't, then what the hell am I going to answer with?
Yeah, I've gotten so many messages that are just like, arbitrary, like, there is nothing wrong with this message. This is a good message. I would respond to this message, but I don't have anything to say. You said a bunch of nice things about me, and I'm like, yes, those are all true things.
yeah.
Cool.
I
have nothing for you.
I wrote a blog post that was about how to write a good first Tinder message, and I feel like it really applies to any online dating platform. And I have this formula that's three different things that I think you should include in every first online dating message. The first thing is compliment the person, like a genuine compliment on something you actually find interesting or attractive about them. The second thing is say something that indicates that you actually read their profile. this can be combined with the compliment. Like, sometimes people compliment me on my sense of humor in this, like, one joke that's in my profile or something like that. Just something that definitely proves that your message was not copy and pasted to a bunch of different people, and that indicates, like, why are you specifically interested in this person? And then the third thing is a question. And I think it should be, like, an open-ended and relatively interesting question that the person is going to be excited to answer. One of my favorite first online dating messages I ever got, in my OKC profile, like, one of the TV shows I have listed as my favorites is Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And then I have a part where I mention that one of the things I think a lot about is kink psychology. And then I had about being a sex writer. And this guy messaged me and he asked me, like, what do you think about Jake Peralta of Brooklyn Nine-Nine as, like, a feminist man? And then he asked me something about, like, whether Rosa, the character on the show, would be a dom or a sub, and, like, what I think about her kink psychology. I forget his exact question, but it was basically, yeah, like, this is a question I'm very excited to answer, and also, like, just the way it was written was really smart and engaging, and...
That is the thing. I have answered messages to people that I am so not interested in, mm-hmm, but, like, their question was really good.
Yeah.
And, like, as a matter of fact, I do have a lot of opinions about that. Allow me to share them.
Yeah, and, like, sometimes it can be a question that, like, you already kind of know the answer to, or you could guess the answer, but, like, the idea is to get the conversational ball rolling, and if it's a question I'm super excited to answer, like... that could get your foot in the door, even if otherwise I wouldn't immediately find you attractive. So that to me is very important.
Yeah, definitely. And I think just as important as the things you have to include in messages, it's important to know what not to include.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot stand a first message that gives me a pet name. I am not sweetie. I'm not beautiful. I'm not babe. Like, who are you? Stop. No. No.
Yeah. You don't know me. You don't
and they're all life. Femme. They're all femme.
Mm-hmm.
Like, none of those words are... Stop.
That's one thing I like about Tinder, is that it gives you the person's first name. And I do like it when the person actually addresses their message, like, hey, Kate. Because it feels personable, but still respectful. And I like that.
See, I don't, but I also have a weird thing about names.
Mm-hmm.
I react, when I get a Tinder message that has my name in it, I react to it the same way I react to, when I work retail, so when someone comes up to me and reads my name tag and says hi to me, I always want to, like, be like, who the fuck are you? How do you know my name? What? This isn't... Yeah. Who are you? What? Like, it feels almost invasive, which is weird, but, like, we didn't discuss this. I don't know what's happening. I did get a Tinder message a few days ago that was like, is Bex your real name? And I wanted to be like, who sent you? Are they on to me?
I got a message the other day from some dude asking me if my heart tattoo was real. And I was like, that's... Why would I have a fake tattoo in a Tinder picture? Like, why?
Well, yeah. I wanted to... Like, part of me wanted to respond with stupid things, but I also wanted to respond with, like... the... like... psychology slash... I don't even know the word for it, but, like... of the whole real name myth. Like, excuse you, if it is the name that I'm using and I'm asking to go by, then it is my real name. Fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
If it is the name that people call me,
yeah,
then it is my name. I don't care what the government calls me. Fuck the government. It is my name. And then I got another really good message back when I still lived on Long Island. It was the only... OkCupid date that I've ever been on, like, when I lived out on Long Island, because there was literally no one there. And the message was like, wow, I'm visiting Long Island, and this is a barren wasteland of nothingness. You are literally the only cool person on OkCupid. And I, like, messaged back, like, I know, right? Like, the fuck? So, and he wound up, he had family on Long Island, so he would visit occasionally, and, like, we hooked up, and that was cool.
There is actually psychological evidence backing up the idea that we're more likely to date people who we feel we have stuff in common with, which sounds really obvious, but, like, it's actually, like, pretty hardwired into how our brains work. So I think it's, like, finding any way to, like, establish commonality in your first message is really an effective strategy.
And what about pictures?
Oh, like, God, fucking
especially
pictures.
So especially Tinder, I feel like, is all about the pictures, which so I kind of
like.
Let
me tell you,
it.
Folks, your first photo on Tinder should not be any of the following things: you in a group of people where I can't tell which one is you, you looking away from the camera so I can't see your face hardly at all or at all. You wearing, like, ski goggles or a face mask or, like, any kind of thing where I can't see your face. I am not a big fan of the posing with a wild animal as, like, a signifier that you're a traveler. That, to me, just, like, it's kind of gimmicky.
Yeah.
There's also that whole blog that's, like, photos of Tinder guys posing with tigers, which is, like, an alarmingly common thing. I don't know what the fuck...
But, like, please pose with your puppy, because dogs make this Tinder experience so much better.
I have a bunch of friends, including you, who, like, seem to enjoy Tinder primarily for people's dogs. And I'm like,
so
I'm not
accurate.
A dog person, so I don't really get it. But I'm like, would you really go out with someone just because he had a good dog? I don't know.
No, but I do want to see pictures of his dog in between... the countless pictures of entitled drunk white dudes all over Twitter. Tinder. Also Twitter, but mostly Tinder right now.
I also want to see a smile. I want to see a fucking smile, like a real smile. I don't love when dudes pose with women. And I know that that sounds really like internalized misogyny, weird jealousy stuff, but especially if it's like kind of a romantic pose, like they look like they're out at like a prom together or something, I'm always like, what's up here? Like, why did you choose this? I have a lot of feelings about like picture choice as a sign of someone's social sense, because sometimes someone will have a picture as their first Tinder picture and it's like, it's not a bad picture, but I'm just like, if this is what you think the best and most representative picture of you is, I don't know that we have very much in common, because this is not A-grade material.
I'm always really weirded out, too, when they do post group pictures, but, like, it looks like they put the picture in Snapchat and scribbled over everyone's faces, or, like, edit out other people's faces. Because it's just creepy in a serial killer kind of way.
But I get it, or, though. Like,
I get it, but, like, also, do you really not have any other pictures of you where you look good? Is this really the best and only picture you have of your face?
If you look amazing in a group shot, just crop it tighter. Like,
Or put that group shot with, like, seven other selfies so I can clearly pick you out of the group shot.
Yeah.
I mean, I have terrible facial recognition, so, like, unless the group shot is of people, like, that look completely different from you, I still probably won't be able to find you. But, but yeah, like, a group picture is okay. I like to know that you have friends.
But not as your first one, because I need to be able to identify immediately what you look like.
Yeah, definitely.
I like to have a picture in there of you doing something that's important to you. So, like, for example, one of my Tinder pictures is me playing ukulele on a stage in front of a bunch of people, which I like because I don't have to explain in my description that I'm a musician. I just have this picture that just shows it and makes me look really cool and famous and important. So if you have a picture like that, I would say probably that's not a great first picture unless you happen to look really amazing in it. I also am a fan of winking pictures, but like everybody fucking knows I have a thing about winks.
You do.
I've like definitely swiped right on dudes just because they had a really great wink in one of their Tinder pictures. It's just, I don't know. There's something about it that's so like classically flirty to me. I'm into it.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I've never seen a good wink in a picture though.
Oh, like, I have screenshots.
Oh, this seems important. I will need this at some point.
Oh, I found in my screenshots folder this one, which I believe I sent to you before, and it's this dude, and he's in full, like, Halloween costume as Ace Ventura. And it's an excellent Ace Ventura costume, and it was set as his last picture, which was kind of like a funny kicker as I was, like, scrolling through his normal pictures where he looked like a regular human, and then there's suddenly this really funny picture of him dressed as Ace Ventura. That was, like...
It's so good.
I was quite charmed by that, because that, like, tells me a little something about his sense of humor and his personality and a different side of him than his other pictures showed.
Yeah. All of my pictures, well, all of my pictures are selfies except the picture you took of me saying I found a fork. And this one you took of me writing that I love. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about, like, because I've definitely had people be like, oh, you should have pictures that, like, other people took of you so that, like, you know people, they know people like you. or, like... pictures, what, and also how do you feel about, like, people feeling like they need to make sure they get a full body shot in Tinder?
I've never really thought of that from that perspective. I get very anxious about whether my profiles accurately show how chubby I am, because I have this, like, I just live in fear that I will show up at a date and someone will think that I look much chubbier in person than I look in pictures. And that's never happened to my knowledge. Like, I'm very good about representing myself accurately, I think, in my profiles, but I just live in fear of that happening. So I think that selfies can be, they can sort of distort how you look. And so it's good to have pictures that other people have taken of you, even if you look at them and don't think that they are as flattering, because they do provide, like, more of a complete picture.
This guy's profile: gummy bear cocktail with a shot of kink. I peed off a bridge once, and I liked it.
I peed off a bridge once, and I liked it. Syllabically, not a perfect fit. I'll have to keep workshopping that one.
Take rid of the once. I peed off a bridge, and I liked it.
Fuck that and fuck yeah. It's our weekly segment where we tell you something we hate and something we love. This week it's all about online dating, as I'm sure you've noticed. What is your fuck that, Bex?
This week, my fuck that is the lack of good queer dating sites. Because I feel like, I mean, I know there's a bunch out there, and I know you're all going to email them to me or Twitter them at me. But, and to be fair, I haven't given many a real shot. But the big ones, especially OKC and Tinder, are all relatively hetero and just a swarm of cis straight dudes. And then there's Grindr, which is very gay. And I do not, as much as I would like to be on Grindr, and, like, scruff and all that stuff, I do not feel like that is a place I am allowed to be. Or entirely, like, okay being there as an assigned female non-binary person. Which might possibly be my own stuff, too, and I might want to get over it and just try it. But, that scares me.
I do know some, like, assigned female at birth, like, trans and non-binary folks who use Grindr, but, like, I can also totally understand why that would feel weird for you to do.
Yeah, and, like, I think if I fully ID'd as a trans dude, I'd feel more okay on there.
Mm-hmm.
But even though I am definitely much more mask than I am femme, I still idea as non-binary, and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I am allowed. I still have such weird feelings about being in gay dude spaces, which is only where I always ever want to be. But yeah, I just want, like, a queer app to blow the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it only blows up in the queer community. Just something where, like, reliably there's enough people on there. Because even going on OKC and doing the, like, hide me from straight people thing, it's just not great. The closest thing I have right now is New York City has a queer cruising Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty rad, and that's kind of, like, where, my community kind of lives, and it's like, oh, here. Like, last week, I think it was last week, on the podcast, I mentioned that I really just want to date someone who doesn't need a glossary to understand my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want out of a queer dating app. I want to be able to find people that are already kind of in my community, that already kind of know my shit, are gonna understand what I mean when I say I'm poly, non-binary, kinky, submissive, pup, whatever. Like, yeah. That they're gonna get that shit.
Yeah.
And OKC and Tinder do not have that.
Yeah, this is my problem with these sites, is that they're too mainstream. That sounds really douchey to say, but, like, I've had dudes on Tinder ask me what I mean by queer, or what I mean by sex positive, or make wild false assumptions about what poly means, and I'm like, I really don't want to have to explain my whole goddamn life to you. Like, that's not fun, like, for me.
If those things are bringing up big existential questions for you,
mm-hmm.
you are not ready to be in my life even for a few hours. And that sounds really pretentious. But I have spent fucking years on this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Years on figuring out my own shit, figuring out the language to work around other people's shit, and I don't want to do, like, remedial lessons on removing gender from your, like, lexicon.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to do that when I first meet someone. I don't want to have to explain how my relationship dynamics work before you decide if you want to be a part of them.
Yeah, like, go do some Googling and call me in the morning, you know?
Yeah, like, I will explain me, but I will not explain, and, like, how these things relate to me, but mm-hmm. I will not explain entire concepts.
Yeah, no, I don't know, ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, so what's your fuck that?
My fuck that is people whose first message is some variation of, hey. I hate this so much. Because it's like, I feel like they're using this model of communication that would work if we were, like, in a bar, maybe. Like, if someone just walked up to me and said, hey, and they were appropriately cute and charismatic and respectful, that could be a great start to a conversation. I don't know. It could go anywhere. But I feel like on online dating, that just gives me fucking nothing to work with, and also is boring and does not make me excited about messaging you back. Like, if that's the best you could come up with, if that's the most impressive you could be, I don't know that it's going to get any better from there, you know? That just, to me, signals that you're putting zero effort into this, and if you don't care, why should I care? Ugh.
Yeah. Ugh.
What is your fuck yeah?
My fuck yeah is the fact that Tinder lets me list myself as non-binary now, which is super exciting.
Yeah, that's excellent.
That just rolled out recently, and I like that it has a gajillion different gender options, which is cool, and by a gajillion I think I mean 37, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still really rad and awesome, and I'm really excited about it. I'm gonna see how it goes, because I think one of my major annoyances on OKC and why I've been favoring Tinder lately is that on OKC it says like 7 times in my profile that I'm non-binary and that I don't want to talk to straight dudes who are going to continue to identify as straight even after hitting on me.
Mm.
Because, like, if you're straight and you're into me, then you are seeing me as a woman.
Yeah.
So, meh. No. No thank you. Not right now. Meanwhile, and, like, there are some people that I will, like, bend on that for, and that's just because I know them, and I like them, and I know we have a good rapport, and I know they respect me.
Yeah.
But, like, that is not a good foot to start out on a dating site.
Mm-hmm.
So on Tinder, I didn't have myself listed as non-binary, so I didn't get as annoyed when people ignored it. Because, like, oh, they're not, there's no reason for them to know, so if they start using vaguely femme language on me, well, whatever.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, on OKC, I got really aggro and was like, no, fuck you! It said it seven times, I counted! maybe read some shit! So we'll see if, like, Tinder becomes more of a cesspool of just me being annoyed about being misgendered, or if being able to list myself as non-binary helps me find other queers. So what's your fuck yeah?
My fuck yeah is specific date asks. I'm really a fan of these, especially on online dating. For example, like, the guy I started seeing in March, when he asked me out on a date, we had been talking about, like, pretty vaguely about maybe going to see an improv show together, and he suggested a specific show at a specific time on a specific day, and laid out all the details for me, and it was coming up pretty soon, so I had to make a decision pretty quickly. And I really liked that because it was just more concrete, and the fact that it was so concrete gave me less wiggle room to, like, anxiety talk myself out of doing it. So, like, I find often if people are like, yeah, we should go for a drink sometime next week or whatever, like, it often just doesn't pan out because it's just too vague and you kind of lose steam on wanting to do it. Whereas, like, setting an actual plan, it can feel a little bit rushed and, like, a little pressury, but if you're into the person anyway, I find that that really helps me get motivated to actually go and see them. So now, like, when I'm asking someone out, I usually try to be really specific and really intentional about the particular thing that I'm asking them to, because I just think it shows initiative, too. Like, it shows that you, like, put a little effort into, like, Googling what the thing was and, like, when it is, and, like, you planned a little bit of a thing for them, and that to me is nice and respectful.
Yeah, and as an anxious person, just knowing exactly what to expect out of the evening.
Totally.
Is really awesome.
Yeah.
Just being told, like, this is where we're gonna go, and I'd be like, okay, cool, yeah, sure.
Yep. Alright, well, thank you so much for listening to the online dating episode of the Dildorks. I'm sure that online dating is going to come up in many other episodes. Like, this was really just a surface-level discussion. We have so many deeper feelings about online dating that I'm sure we'll talk about more in the future.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm sure we're going to have so many more absurd stories that start with online dating. Because it's just really, when I get into, like, when I'm in the mood for online dating, it's, I'm in the mood for a weird adventure to happen. It's never like, I'm gonna look for love. It's like, I think I want some weird shit to happen this weekend. Let me get on Tinder. Like, that's
so true.
I want my life to be a little more interesting. Probably not for the better, but we'll see how it goes.
I think that, honestly, I would do better with online dating if I took that attitude of, like, I don't necessarily need this to be good, I just need it to be funny and to make for a good story.
It's the only way I convince myself to do things. Like, it's terrible, but so many people, I'm getting us off on a tangent in the middle of our outro, but whatever. So many people talk about, like, oh, everyone's obsessed with, like, social media now, and it's all about, they're living in their phones, and it's all about taking pictures, and no one lives in the moment, and no one, but, like, the number of times I have done something that I was afraid to do, because I'll be like, well, shit, I can tweet about it later. Like,
totally.
The number of times I have lived a more interesting and exciting and dynamic life with my rationalization being, this will make some interesting content. Or, like, but I can tweet about it. Or, but, like, this will look cool. I can take a cool picture of this or whatever. Like,
yeah,
yeah, maybe sometimes I do live for what I can look like on the internet, but it's also making me live a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's not a bad thing. Like, maybe it is making my life, like, as much as I do it for the show, it makes my life more interesting and more fun sometimes. So, like,
yeah,
fuck it. If yeah, that's what I need to get past my anxiety that would sometimes leave me sitting in bed all day. But I'm like, yeah, but if I sit all bed in bed all day, I can't tweet pictures of Santa spanking me. So maybe I should just go get those pictures taken. Like, yeah, it's fucking cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was my rant on why social media is great.
No, I totally agree. So, my name's Kate
Sloan. Resume. Continue, so I can go to bed.
Yeah. I'm sorry I've kept you up so late doing our podcast.
My name is Kate Sloan. Yeah, God, how dare I do my job?
Yeah. I have a sex blog at girlyjuice.net. I have a writing portfolio at katewritesaboutsex.com. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My usernames there are girly_juice. I would love if you would follow and tweet at me about funny online dating experiences you've had. Bex, where is all your stuff at?
I am Bex. I'm at BexTalkSex on Twitter, which you can follow for all kinds of screenshots of some of my most interesting online dating experiences. Maybe I'll post some old throwbacks this week once we launch this podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm on Instagram, also at BexTalkSex. I blog at BexTalkSex.com. And together we're the Dildorks. We're at the Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram. And at thedildorks.com, you can also email us at thedildorks@gmail.com if you have any questions or comments. Maybe if we start getting some interesting questions, we'll be able to answer them on the air, and that'd be fun.
Yes, please. Thank you so much to Protodome for letting us use his song I Want You in My Bedroom as our theme song. It's on his album Chip Funk. You can find his music at protodome.bandcamp.com. Thank you also to Amy Gardner for doing our beautiful art. She's starboots_ on Twitter, and you should hire her for commission pieces because she's excellent. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. Bye. I want you in the morning. Let's stay with me. Are you ready to begin this wild adventure that we're on?
Yeah, give me 2 seconds.
So no is your answer.
No, I know. I'm sorry. Ugh, I am swiping right for this chicken parm. God damn. Look at that shit.
What was the Minneapolis guy's name?
I don't fucking know.
Do you really not know?
No fucking clue. I don't know the names of the dudes I fucked. I made a list the other day. Only half of them have names.
He's cute. I can see why I decided to go out with him.
Oh, yeah.
He's like totally...
I can see why you decided to go out with him. He has the facial hair and the hat.
Oh, God. Is this my type now? Am I doomed?
Do you tell me you don't see that.
Ugh, you're so right, and I hate myself. Yeah, we need to do Fuck That, Fuck Yeah. Do you have those?
Do we have... Yeah, I had them before we started, and it's almost like I remembered them or something.
Babe, like you gotta write this shit down. We have the technology to do that. I'm not sure if you're aware.
Do we have a laugh? What was the last thing we said?
I was gonna do the, I peed off a bridge and I laughed.
Oh, okay.
I can find a way to just weave that in there.
Okay. Good.
It's so stupid. I hate it. Okay, shit, I gotta pull it together.